Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So this is Charlie Baker.
And Andy Jacobs.
And I'm in for Paul Hawksby on the Hawksby and Jacobs Show. That's far too long for an intro for a podcast, but this is the podcast. What's on it, Andy?
I'm very guilty of that. I normally explain the whole podcast. You don't need me to listen to it. It's our bit. It's Bob and Paul.
Oh, they were brilliant.
Yeah, Bob. That's Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse. And Mark Housley on the dangers of referees' whistles.
And we found out there was another whistle that wasn't the Acme Thunderer.
I know, never heard of that one.
No, the Fox 40, was it? You'll find out in the podcast.
I think you're making it up.
Good afternoon, Charlie.
Last time I saw you, Andy, we were just in the throes of defeat. Last Thursday
mainly
in
due
Richmond.
To me.
Not mainly due to you.
It was due to me, really. But I feel that we should speak quite quietly because the speakers in the main office are so loud.
Oh.
The previous show, people were just, their ears were bleeding.
Oh, really?
So I feel that we should speak. We could turn the speakers down. That would be probably a better idea.
Quiet radio. Do you think that's the future?
I don't. Well, just work for Bob Harris. What was the biggest shock of the weekend? Was it AJ losing to Ruiz or 89-year-old Colin Thackeray winning Britain's Got Talent?
I thought he was a shoo-in for Britain's Got Talent.
Who, Colin?
Yeah, because you've got to think of the story, haven't you? What's the story?
Well, it's a great story, but
what's the reason they're going to win?
He was good for 89. I mean, was good, but I mean,
but also, who votes on those shows is sort of old people and kids.
Yeah,
that's who votes on those shows. So yes, who's going to vote for their granddad? Old people and kids.
That's how it happened. Well, good analysis.
Exactly. The Chelsea pensioners.
Them on the Champions League final.
Do you think that's no? Exactly. Are you a Britain's Got Talent fan?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's a brilliant show. I think it's a brilliantly constructed show, presented. The whole concept of it, much prefer it to any of those X Factor or The Voice or anything like that. Really, really enjoyable. The most exciting thing that happened on Saturday night was the engraver, really. Was he going to get it finished in time?
Yes.
Honestly, what a terrible game, wasn't it? I mean, it's a lot of pressure, though, isn't he? He's under a lot of pressure. I mean, the final whistle's gone. He's got to wait. I mean, all right, he could have probably started. We're probably going to start at half time.
Yeah. When Origi popped up at the back stick.
All right, Origi, he probably could get a start. But, you know, you don't want to start putting in LI and then suddenly Spurs bring it back to 2-2. So you've got to wait. And then it's quite difficult. You don't want to make any spelling errors, slip of the hand or anything like that.
I've never
overanalyze this section of the game.
I've never seen that before with the football. It's normally the golf, they're normally there engraving it straight away, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think the British Open, they're normally there doing it. And I've always thought that is a really pressurised job.
Yeah, it is.
As an engraver, can you go back and start again?
No, you can't.
Do you cross it out? Is there an equivalent of Tippex for engravers? Do we know?
Oh, actually, that's probably a good point. It's probably some sort of hot thing that melts it back down again.
They must be, because you think of all the dents and everything that European trophy must have had in it over the years.
Yeah, somebody, I think Sergio Ramos or somebody, dropped it a couple of years ago. But there you go.
But I love a trophy shop. Do you like a trophy shop, Andy? Going into the trophy shop?
Oh, yeah.
Just having a look round, snooker, you know.
good miming.
Good mime. It's always good fun to do the mime of the trophy shop.
And we often complain about the profiteering at Cheltenham when we go and do the show.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I mean, the hotel we stayed in this year, it was 400 quid a night. It's normally 80 quid.
Oh.
And 80 quid a night, it's quite a nice hotel.
Yeah.
For 400 quid a night, it's an 80 quid a night hotel. It's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But the cheapest room at the Hilton Madrid Airport on Saturday night was £2,000. The same one next week will cost 124 quid.
Oh.
That is profiteering.
But, you know, it's a difficult job, isn't it? It's a difficult job being running a hotel. You've got to make hay while the sun shines, Andy.
Well, you're going to have sympathy for hoteliers.
I've got sympathy for them.
Do you have hoteliers in your...
My nan ran a B&B in Torquay, so this is where it's all coming from. That, you know, you've got to put your prices up. But I think she was like £9 a night rather than... But she did have Giles Brandreth stay once, which she told us a lot in
did
our childhood.
Did she ramp up the price after he'd been there?
Once Giles had been in, that was it.
The Giles Brandreth
It was £11
suite.
A night.
Why not? There was, as there often is, an advert for... You can usually get a watch or you can get a ring or a great... I used to get the plates when Chelsea would win anything, the Danbury Mint plates.
Oh, yes, lovely, yeah.
Very, very nice. But I suggest this ad for this one was written possibly before the game. It's for the official 2019 UEFA Champions League final watch, a high-quality precision timepiece celebrating 2019 UEFA Champions League final. And then the blurb goes, what a final! Liverpool, what are you talking about? It's the worst game of all time. Brilliant, isn't it? What a final. No.
It wasn't a great game, was it?
No.
It wasn't a great game, but we all sat and watched it, of course.
Of course, but it was a stinker. It never took off.
Well, Spurs were in it for 25 seconds.
Spurs were in it.
They looked good for 25 seconds.
I mean, Glenn Hoddle was so angry after the game. I could see why. I mean, he's a real fan, and he thought that it was written in the stars that Spurs would win.
Yeah.
But, and he was very grudging. I mean, he sort of said that, well, I mean, Liverpool definitely deserved to win something this season, but they possibly didn't deserve to win on Saturday night, but that's not their fault. They scored two goals, and Spurs squandered every opportunity that they had.
Did you think it was a penalty?
Yes, I did.
I did as well. And I think the only controversy comes that it was so early in the game. I think if it was later in the game, everyone would have gone, yes, definite pen. But when it happens so quickly like that, it's...
The VAR was a Dutchman called Danny McKelly.
Oh.
And I can't say this. Strange. Danny McKelly has a strange name, isn't it, for a Dutchman?
Sounds a very Scouse name, doesn't it? Hey, Danny. Danny McKelly.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, he was from Holland and he was the VAR and he decided... Well, he couldn't overturn it because it wasn't a clear and obvious... I thought Sissoko's arm came down, didn't it? It sort of stopped the ball coming in. It was harsh, you know, very harsh.
Was harsh, but I think it was a harsh game.
I spoke to a friend of mine in Madrid last night, not back till today, and I said, how hot was it? Because they kept stressing it on the telly. But, of course, when you're not there, it's like when they say it's windy. Or you can't see it, you can't feel it. So it doesn't matter how many times it's like somebody's pain. It doesn't matter people tell you you can't feel it unless it's you're there. And he said it was crazy. It was like 100 degrees boiling. And I think that was really, the conditions were the winner, I think.
Yeah, and I think maybe Liverpool having their couple of weeks off in Marbella rather than stay in London, they became acclimatised.
Yeah, possibly.
You disagree?
I'm not sure the 3-week thing had that much. Yes, they were a bit rusty in the first half, but I think if it hadn't been so hot, both teams could have grown into the game, you know. But I just think if you've got two teams that like to press, those conditions made it very, very difficult.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, there's a problem with referees at the moment, and it's they can see a problem forthcoming. Is the problem?
Well, it's a study in the US has found that a single blast from a ref's whistle is similar to noise from a chainsaw.
Oh God.
Sound a bit much, doesn't it?
I'd tell you what, that would stop abuse of referees, wouldn't it? If they were carrying a chainsaw around.
That's a good idea.
Just around the
American study also found that the most commonly used whistles operated in a range most likely to harm hearing, so the Premier League referees have launched an investigation.
They have indeed, and joining us on the line to talk to us about it is Mark Halsey, former Premier League referee. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, guys. I've been watching your cricket as well, and the fielding's not been great either, is it?
No, that's not too good. I'm surprised you can hear us, having whistled all those years.
Well, I mean, for 20-odd years, I used a Fox 40 Classic, and they were very, very loud. And funny you should say that, because in the last couple of years, I've had keep getting ringing in my ears. So it's funny that should come out, so perhaps I could put in a claim.
So you think it may hold water, this theory?
Well, listen, I mean, I've blown it many a times, you know, just in front of players, and they've, you know, I can't obviously say over the air what they've said to me, but it is very, very deafening, obviously. I mean, you know, when you've got a massive, massive crowd, they've got to hear that whistle. So, yeah, I mean, some of them are more high pitched than others, I would imagine. So, yeah, I mean, using my Fox 40, that was very high pitched and very, very loud.
What's it called? The Fox 40, is it?
It's a Fox 40, yeah. Fox
I only know the Acme.
That I always use. Yeah. But that, I mean, when I first came, that was like sort of one of the only whistles around, like the, you know, the Acme Thunder, they're called. But they, then everybody sort of changed over to the Fox 40. But then there's more and more whistles coming out now. But it's funny you say, because if you listen to the rugby league and the rugby union referees' whistles, they're not as high pitched as the football referees.
I like your voice. It's very, very deep.
Yeah.
Deep whistle. How many whistles did you go through in your career?
I used to use to be honest with you, I mean, I think I had about four or five. I used to use the same one all the time, and then when that sort of, you know, got a bit worn from me, from my teeth marks and blowing it, I used to change. But I think you're looking at about most probably four or five. I had, and it was always, I always used the Fox Force
for me. A referee's quite sort of, I want to use a different word to geeky, but I'm going to say geeky. A referee's quite geeky about whistles. Is it a, oh, I've got a really good one here. Look at this one.
But listen, some of them, I mean, I always used to use the black, it used to be a black Fox Force, and you see all the referees now, some of them use a yellow one, some of them use a green one, some of them use a red one. Yeah, and I think you can look at that and say, yeah, perhaps they do. Because sometimes some of them think it's about them, but I just think myself, it's like football boots. Just stick to black football boots. And why does everybody wear all these different colours? So, I think it's the same with whistles. And I suppose sometimes they do are attention seeking. But, you know, for me, just stick to the black. You know, you don't want to be noticed.
Anecdotally, Mark, have you ever heard of a whistle failing? A ref going to blow it, the players haven't heard it, and he feels afterwards he can't do anything about it, and something's happened, a goal?
I think that used to happen when it used to have like a pee in it, because now all the whistles are peeless. You know, they used to have a little pee in them, didn't they? A little wooden pee.
Yeah, hell yeah, yeah.
So they used to have them in, but now all the whistles are peeless, so it's you don't get that problem anymore.
A peeless whistle.
Yeah,
sounds like a euphemism to me, but not gonna get
There's
into
nothing
it.
Else they could do. Cause I suppose they could have a siren, a hooter.
What else could they have? A clicker, like you know when you train a dog. When you train a dog and you have a clicker, would that work? No, not quite loud enough.
It's got to be a whistle because that's when everybody hears it. So, but yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it always seems to start with the Americans, doesn't it? All these things about damage to this, damage to your head, damage to your ears, and. I mean, it's interesting because you could look at, with the headsets, with the headsets in their ears, does listening to the guys back in, when they do the VAR and listening to the communications kit, does that cause a bit of damage?
So in American football, they throw a flag, don't they? They throw a flag if there's anything particularly wrong.
Yeah, but they still have the headsets in as well, don't they? They still do use the whistles, don't they?
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
I don't know how much your wife is into sport. Is she into sport at all?
She loves Talk United because I do.
Okay.
That's why. But she does like sport. She likes the cut and thrust of it, yes.
Oh, that's interesting. Because my wife hates sport. Oh. Right? She's not interested in sport at all. Really.
Good job. She's interested in your work then, Andy.
I know. Often, she listens to the show all the time, but basically doesn't understand any of it, but likes it. Likes the sound of my voice.
That's nice. It? And she came to the cricket last week, didn't she?
Cricket,
she can't like sport.
Well, she likes... No, she likes cricket.
Sorry.
No, no. So I said to her, sometimes when you see a great moment, I've started doing this lately. I don't know why. I sort of pause it or go back and I say to her, because I watch in a different room.
Yeah.
I say to her, come and have a look at this. Come and have a look at Ben Stokes' catch.
Yes.
This is the best catch I think you'll ever see. Of course, she's not massively impressed when I say to her, come and have a look at it. But she did come and have a look at it and she did actually go, wow.
Yeah.
Because it was incredible.
Well, it was amazing. You can't work from the moment it starts, the moment it ends, you can't work out how each bit has got into the next bit, can you? And 2 million people have watched that online. Do you know that?
Really?
They've clipped that out and watched that. 2 million hits now. It's pretty good, isn't it?
Talking of 2 million, pitch invader Kinsey Wolanski. This is the idiotic woman who ran onto the pitch. You may have noticed it at the start of the...
I did notice it, yeah.
Yeah, and apparently she did it to publicise her boyfriend's YouTube channel.
Yeah, Vitaly, his name is, Vitaly, because I did Google...
You're right across this. best mate. Must be such a dull game. You're right across this one.
Well, it was brilliant. A particular highlight. She was woman of the match. most important player.
But it's incredible. She's Instagram have closed down her account as
really?
A punishment.
Oh, yeah. Goodness me.
And she had 2 million followers.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a Kinsey Wolanski? 2 million followers. It's incredible, isn't it, how it works.
But how did... I mean, it's difficult enough to get past security and get into the game, but she got past it in that swimsuit.
She took it off.
There we are.
I don't know. Spanish police were brutal. It was a very good piece by the Times sports editor today, Alex K. Jelski, about how unpleasant it was. And there's some footage online. And you're always struck by whenever I go to a Champions League game or a Europa League game here, the police around Chelsea, they're brilliant with the fans. Mm-hmm. We're over fans, and we often get loads of the opposition fans there. And they just handle them absolutely excellently. They treat them with respect. They just treat them in the right way.
Yeah.
Whereas you see the Spanish police, they're just laid into... There's one bit where a Liverpool fan just walked in the wrong bit. All the bloke needed to say to him was, excuse me, so not no entry here, or even, you know, even in Spanish, you'd understand what he meant, and that would be it. You could do it verbally. Oh, no, he laid into him with his truncheon.
Yeah, but I think maybe in the past that they've tried that and it hasn't worked. So, and are they working within the parameters of their police system rather than our police system?
I just think UEFA need to, have a look at this. You know,
this is what I'm not saying it's right. I'm just trying to, play devil's advocate there.
Very good of you.
Thank you. I'm not on the side of the police.
As a spokesman on behalf of the Spanish police.
Spanish police.
Just
and
received
their batons.
A commendation. Senor Charlie Baker.
Listen, I'm going there this summer. I don't want there to be any trouble.
Services beyond the call of duty. It's fantastic. The Queen, meanwhile, was at the Derby on Saturday.
Oh, fantastic.
And, she wasn't happy, though. Her horse got edged out of it. And there she is. Look, she's a bit like Alan Brazil when one of his horses has gone wrong. She's quite angry.
Furious about it.
But she was quite a big prize, about 920 grand. Not, she needs the money.
What happens to the money when the Queen wins it? Do we know?
I think she keeps it.
Does she keep it?
Well, she has to pay for her horses to be in training and stables and all that, so she's entitled to. She doesn't just give the money away.
We're getting into a conversation there that I don't think I'd come out of very well. There we are.
Bit of a Republican.
No. Let's not say that. The Derby. Have you ever been to the Epsom Derby?
I haven't. No, it's supposed to be quite, sort of egalitarian.
Yeah, as we find out when we go to Cheltenham, a lot of these horse races are big drinking festivals.
Oh, yeah.
And a horse race breaks out, doesn't it?
Well, that's very true. I'm not suggesting the Queen.
It was a huge weekend of sport, wasn't it? I didn't even know the Derby was on this weekend. It's one of those weekends where everything's happening all the time. The cricket, the World Cup. Luckily, that's sort of sparking into life now. And the rugby, the Premiership rugby, which Saracens won. Absolutely amazing final.
I missed that one. Are you sort of anti-Exeter?
I'm not anti-Exeter.
The producers' eyes are raised, the eyebrows are raised.
I'm not anti-Exeter. I don't particularly like their name or their branding. That's as far as I'd like to go with that. But Saracens, it was a brilliant back and forth final. Absolutely
brilliant.
So you
were behind
final.
The Saracens, you wanted them to win. That's fair enough.
Okay.
Congratulations to our over-50s walking footballers. The England team won the World Cup. That's a tremendous thing.
Fantastic.
Paul wants me to play walking football.
Why don't you?
Well, I could do.
I can see you
doing
that.
Good. But I was wondering, how do you press? Is it easy to press in walking football?
You walk quicker than someone else.
I think you're restricted to how quick you can walk, aren't you?
I don't know, because it's like when you watch the walking races in the Olympics, and they have someone who taps them on the shoulder and says,
"You can't raise."
That waddle was too fast.
No, and if you I think one foot has to remain in contact with the floor the whole time. This is probably the same. So I think we're going to try and get somebody on from the winning team. We'll have a chat about them.
Fantastic.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse have been friends for 30 years.
No, we're on,
but
Paul,
when life intervened, it was once a joyous and spontaneous friendship, dwindled to the odd phone call or occasional catch-up then. Glory be, they were both diagnosed with heart disease and they realised that time is short and they better spend it fishing. We all saw the brilliant programme last year, Gone Fishing. Award-winning? Was it award-winning? Should have been.
Yeah, oh, we did. Oh, we won awards.
Yeah, we won something from the Radio Times.
And we won
And the Angling Times.
From the Journal.
The Angling Times, that was the one.
Front cover of the Angling Times. Beat that.
Well, the thing is, Nigel, by the way, presents our excellent fishing show here on TalkSport. He's here. I know he's here to interview because he's so excited. He's been talking about it on the show.
Oh.
And he's here now, so he just disappeared. But he was here. And he's very much looking forward to talking to you. It'll be more of a technical chat, I think.
I'll sit that one out then.
I probably will as well.
Because, Paul, you were a regular...
I'm just looking out the window. At the view of the, the new view.
You could actually fish from here. I was going to suggest
it'd be a long cast.
It would be a long cast.
And you wouldn't catch much, would you? Maybe an eel.
Or a seal going up.
Or a seal.
Going up the river, something like that. So it has been massively successful. Now that there's a book, which is a lovely book, it's a beautiful illustration.
Do you like that?
I do like that.
Yeah. I think it's ever so slightly insipid.
Do you?
Bob, you can't say that.
You think it's a bit washed out, do you? A bit washed out.
Different, Bob.
It's arty.
It's got the wrong Instagram filter on it.
We did an audio book as well, which we, we thought we'd be reading the book out, but actually we just talked for 6 hours.
Yeah, and a half hours of it. It's funny.
So, Paul, you were a fisherman anyway, and you invited Bob down to the riverbank. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, as you say, in a way, it was sort of glory be heart disease, and I'd been diagnosed with heart disease a couple of years earlier. Yeah. Bob didn't care. He didn't get in touch with me, but when he was
diagnosed, didn't really interest me.
No, it didn't. No,
I think it was very interesting.
But when I heard about Bob's predicament, of course, I got in touch like a true friend would.
Yes, of course.
You know, and we started going. We'd tried to go fishing together for about 25 years, didn't we? And we never got round to it.
Yeah.
And we thought, well, if we don't do it now, we might never manage it.
Never do it.
Yeah, the old heart disease gives you a start. Thinks, oh, you know, it does. You know, like I've done, since I had it, I've done some...
You've done some of your finest work. Some of your only work.
No, all the work. Vic doesn't like football at all, and football's a bit of an obsession. So there'd never been even a football reference in 30 years of work.
But you were Middlesbrough youth team, weren't you?
I was good when I was a young lad. But the... So I said, no, I'm going to do something with football. It's been a passion.
Can we stop talking about football now?
This is fishing. I think we're talking about fishing.
We'll come back to Tottenham in a minute.
But in comedy, you both had, I'd say, similar sort of starts because you both had careers before you were in... Paul, you were a plasterer, is that right?
Yeah,
I've
done a few
things. And Bob, you were a lawyer, you were a solicitor.
Could you do an arch?
Yeah.
Can you still do a mix?
I could skim that wall there.
Skim the wall now, could you?
If you bonded it first.
I mean,
we're
not asking you to do that now, but...
Yeah. But you'd have to knock up. I'm not mixing up. No way. You'd have to knock up.
Do you think that's affected your approach to comedy at all? You had another life first.
I'm not sure about that, perhaps. But I think what was similar about Bob and me is we both had friends and comedy partners who'd already started.
Yeah.
So we were lucky, really. As Bob says, we're coattail Johnnies, you call us, don't you, Bob, when you're not choking?
Yeah.
Yeah, coattail Johnnies.
Yeah. Yes, to be honest with you. Yeah,
because we had, Harry had obviously sort of... I mean, I'd been writing with Harry, but he, was doing the clubs and stuff like that with characters we'd come up with. And same with Vic, with Bob. So we had a different introduction to a lot of people, I suppose.
So there's obviously something about you that likes working with someone else. So this come along as an unofficial double act, but it's been a huge success,
Yeah, well, it's a genuine thing, I mean, it did come out of that real life experience, which was the heart disease, and we started going fishing because we thought, well, time is of the essence,
we're good mates, Paul. It's us to the summer wine, but it's real, or it's a reality show, but it really is real.
But there is something about fishing, because when I listen to Nigel every week, he's very passionate about it, and the people that ring him are very passionate about it. And I mean, one of the main problems they've got is trying to get younger people involved in fishing, and presumably this would help, because obviously you've got an audience and a different thing, and so you probably brought people to the programme and to fishing who probably hadn't looked at it before.
Yes, it feels like it's something that's been on the decline spectacularly, doesn't it? It doesn't feel like it's part of anyone's dialogue, does it, fishing anymore? So there used to be 12 million fishermen.
Well, I don't know if it was that many, but there were certainly millions. I mean, we have brought a new sort of audience to it, but it seems to be middle-aged women. Because their husbands,
you're like Michael Ball. The Michael Ball of the fishing world.
No, their husbands watch it, and it's about the only fishing program that they will tolerate the women sensibly, because it's not really a fishing program.
It seems to be about mental health and men's health and men talking to each other, which has gone is zeitgeisty now. Everyone's sort of talking about it now.
We're not overly like that.
You seem to have caught that wave, yeah.
Yeah, we're not really like that. We do, you know, our stuff has always been character-based comedy and daft comedy. But, yeah. I mean, it's also the beauty of the countryside.
Yeah.
You see that, you know, take time and look at a tree. And it's incredible. And
Bob cooks. You cook in the show
food,
as well.
Yeah,
you cook in the show. Yeah. No, is that something you've always done?
It's something I've always wanted to do, is to fish, is to cook on TV, because it's such a ridiculous idea that people are watching me cook.
I tell you what, from the Galloping Gourmet onwards, it's quids in for a few of them, isn't it?
The book?
Keith Floyd.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Some of Bob's finest recipes are in our book.
Oh, they are?
Oh, they are, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some things take
a... Well, there's room now. Jamie's gone. We're moving in.
I'm sure Jamie's all right. He's not gone anywhere.
What about the actual equipment? Because it strikes me, again, listening to Fisherman's Blues, that tackle is a bit like golf equipment. You could go on and buy.
Tackle tarts, isn't it? Yeah. They say all the gear, no idea.
Yeah.
No, we don't get sent anything. But, Bob, you've got an interesting statistic. You want to claim credit, don't you, for,
what's that for?
The rise in sales?
Yeah, there's been, for the first time in a while, there's been a rise in the sale of internet fishing equipment. And I'm putting
Wants a cut.
You want to get in on it?
What's internet fishing equipment?
He wants a cut. He thinks he's standard.
You mean buying it online?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. Something that's never really happened. But
like when Eric Bristow started selling darts in Argos.
I like the darts. Yeah. You know. I wonder if you could combine darts and fishing. So if they're not biting, put a...
Carp fishing, you could, couldn't you? David Seaman, I bet, you know, look. Save. Carp.
I wonder if he laughs in the fish's face when he caught one. No, put it back, David. Stop laughing.
He's passionate about it. That's what strikes me about people who like it, love it.
I think they're passionate for the feeling, you know, like inserting yourself into this beautiful tableau and it being so peaceful and beautiful for 6 hours, not for 10 minutes, for 6, 7, 8 hours.
And you feel like you've got a purpose. It might be a spurious one.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to be there. You're not going to starve if you don't catch. But there is that element to it, you know. It must... you know, trigger an ancient feeling, really.
Well, I have a theory that a lot of sports got popular because they got men away from their families for a long time. So the Tour de France, 3 weeks they're away. Cricket, 5 days. So fishing, 6 hours away.
Yeah. Well, if you can't fishing, like work, you can go for days on end carp fishing, yeah.
And
you
when I was a solicitor...
Careful where you put this now, Bob, because I know what he's going to say.
But when I was a solicitor, I used to do divorces. And the number of times that was cited in the papers that I never see this man because he's out carp fishing was quite extraordinary, and the number of that was quite extraordinary, you know, that and it kind of ties in, but yeah, a little bit of contemplation and solitude. Sometimes you have to make a real effort to find that. And it is a real effort to go fishing, but it's not the worst. You just get in a car.
No, I've sort of thought about trying it. That's the sort of thing that would be attractive to do.
You do need someone who knows the game first. You know what I mean? Yes, exactly. No, funny enough, in the book, but there are two chapters in the book. It's mainly us musing about life, and it's similar to the show. But there's two sort of how to fish chapters that are very basic. And I didn't want to write them, but Bob forced me at gunpoint, actually, to write them. Because you tried...
It's an old musket, it wasn't it?
Very unpredictable.
Very
probably it damaged you more than me, wouldn't it? But it's because he tried to take his kids fishing, and you didn't know where to start, did you?
No, so everything assumes too much knowledge on YouTube.
Yeah.
So there's a part of the book covers that. Why do you want rid of Sarri so badly? Did you?
Let's talk about football.
Over these last few months, I've had him being so like passionate and upset about his team. Yeah. I'm watching him and thinking, they're okay. It's slightly functional, but I wouldn't have this.
Yeah, but you
anger.
Come from Pulis.
Yeah. I like his little sort of notebook and the old.
But anyway,
I admire a man who looks like he's smoking sort of half a tab.
But what's going on anyway? When the goalkeeper refused to come off, there was not one member of his staff supported Sarri. He was a man completely on his own.
No,
Is there something going on?
But he wants to leave. I think the club would have him stay for a year because it's a pretty unattractive job for the next year with the transfer ban. But, you know, I think...
Theresa May, she's...
She's available.
what was more exciting?
Terrible football manager.
Sitting on the riverbank and not catching anything, or watching a season of Tony Pulis football at Middlesbrough.
Well, I must admit, I probably only went to about 7 away matches last year, which is terrible for me. But it just the Pulis football. It just take your anticipation away. You know, your expectations have completely gone.
Yeah.
It makes it harder to go. But there's a new era now at the Riverside because Borough is a great club. I know no one cares less about them apart from people.
I filmed at the Riverside.
I think we break.
What did you film there?
We filmed a Nouveau Football Fan with John Thompson going Pringle.
What you've both got loads of catch. What are the catchphrases people shout? It. What's the thing people do? People shout brilliant. What do people shout?
Suit you. Probably still pop testic. At the moment I'll get lovely jubbly.
Lovely jubbly. You know. Yes, of course you've got the musical on. Yeah. And Bob, what do people shout at you?
Shout at me, fallen. Where's Vic?
Ulrich,
I don't know how I'm meant to respond to that.
Snod.
But most of mine are long forgotten.
A lot of mine are. I'll get a lot of that. Where's Harry, Paul? I don't know where he is. He's his own man.
So that was it. Paul's back tomorrow. Do listen to it from 1 till 4 tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Charlie, for filling in. Brilliant.
Cheers, Andy. Thank you.
Been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.